That's always a good sign.
Moving forward, process.
One of the tremendous zchuyot that we have, those of us who live in Eretz Yisrael, is to be able to observe the mitzvah of Shemitah, one of the thousand reasons I made Aliyah. That's actually Psukim in Chumash. And there's no question that Cruz Bowl, that takes place once every 7 years, is a rather unique kind of event. So what we'll do is we won't do justice to anything in the short period of time that we have, but we'll attempt to just somewhat overview a little bit first of Psukim that you have in front of you, those who have sheets. I apologize again for not making enough sheets. The topic of Shemitah's Sofim. Everyone knows that there are two aspects of Shemitah. One is Shemitah's Karkos, and the other is Shemitah's Sofim. And the question, of course, is what's the connection? And you must speak on the Yom Tzil. Well, what is the connection between Shemitah's Sofim, which, of course, is the obligation that all loans in the course of the Shemitah year are going to be remitted? And Shemitah's Karkos is obviously. Sounds like birds are chirping. That's fine. Shalom HaMelech, that is Bavua. We understood the chirping of birds as well. So the question is, what's the connection, and is there a connection between Shemitah's Ksofim and Shemitah's Karkos in the course of the seventh year? So when one examines the text of the Psukim that talk about Shemitah, and there are a number of texts, one you don't have in front of you, which is the Parsha Mishpatim. There the Torah indicates, mentions, V'sheh shon en tizva asadecha, V'yachalto, V'yasafto, rather, estubu asot. That for 6 years we sow, and on the seventh year we gather, the 6 years we gather the tzvuah, and then V'ashvi'i is in the seventh year, Tishvetenu and the Tashta, V'yachuev yodei amecha, V'yisom tochal chayas asod. That's the psukim that I mentioned in Parshas Mishpatim. I'm not here now to focus on Shemitah. I gave many shurim on that topic. But I simply want to show you that the Torah uses the language in Mishpatim. It mentions over there very clearly the Ochel of Yoni Anecha. Now that language is also found here in Parshas Re'eh that you do have in front of you. The Chumash could also actually, maybe if you don't mind, perhaps bring yourself a mashma with you. So this way we can look at the Parsha Re'eh, look at the Psukim carefully. The Torah here, in the Psukim of Parsha Re'eh, the Torah has the following comment. That's a very critical pasuk, because here the Torah says, Miket. I think Machlok is already shown him when the Prozbol, I personally don't need it, I'm familiar with the Chumash, but it's also cited right in front of me. But anyone else who needs a Chumash on Parshas Re'eh, in Perek Tezlov, that's where you see the Parsha of Shemitah's Klav. Let's just read it. So, Miket Shem Hashem Tasa Shemitah, the Torah is very precise when it uses this language of Miket. Sounds like that somehow the whole meaning of Shemitah's Sofim Dafke is foul at the end of the year. But as I said, this is the subject of the Big Lachos of Hashem. There are those who do a Prozbol at the beginning of the Shemitah year, the end of the sixth year, and there are those then who do a principle again at the end of the seventh year. The minhag is primarily to do an Erev Rosh Hashanah, which is what I plan on doing this Hashem. So let's just read the psukim. The word Shin Mem Tet, that word is the classic critical word that's involved over here. So that word is a tzivui that's only found with reference to these two mitzvahs. The only time this term is used in Chumash is with reference to Shemitah's Ksafim and with reference to Shemitah's Karkos. And again, as I said, you'll see here also in the Psukim, there's a concern about Aniyim ve'Evyonim. If you look in the Pasuk Gedal, Kilo Yechdal Evyon v'Kerav Ha'aretz, and that's juxtaposed to the mitzvah of Tzedakah, Kiyev v'Chol Evyon. So this term Evyon occurs both in the Parsha Re'eh and also in the Parsha in Mishpatim that I cited a few moments earlier. But there's no question that the mitzvah of Shemitah's Ksofim is not obviously totally an Eretz Yisrael. That's the distinction between Shemitah's Karkos and Shemitah's Tzofim. Shemitah's Karkos is obviously Chal on the Karkos of Eretz Yisrael, And Shemitah Tzavim seemingly is a Chavis HaGuf. It would seem to be an obligation that devolves upon the individual, and it's knowing Ben Boaretz, Ben Bechutzaretz. And that's already borne out by Rambams and by many other Rishonim as well who discuss this topic. From the Rambam, it's Mashma, even that Shemitah Tzavim in Chutzaretz is a Din Daraisa. That's Mashma. So the Rambam here, for those who have the Rambam and Perek Tesla, Shemitah V'Yovel, Halacha Beis, I'll read it in a few moments. But the Rambam writes it explicitly in Sefer HaMitzvos, Mitzvah Seh Kuf Mevalov, there he points this out, that Chovas Shemitas Ksofim is a Din Dor Raisa, and the Mokar is a Raisa in Kedushan Dafan Ches. There the Gemara actually, there's also Yushalmi, there's also a Lav, and the Lav section, the Rambam writes that Min HaTorah Shemitas Ksofim is only knowing in Eretz Yisrael. And this already is the subject of a lot of discussion, but that's not my topic. I simply want to make a number of obvious distinctions between Shemitah Sof and Shemitah Karka. Again, one is found on the Karka Beretz Yisrael, and the other relates to Shemitah Sof, which seemingly has no connection per se to Eretz Yisrael. Secondly, the Zman of Shemitah Sof, what is the timeline for Shemitah Sof, Al Pi Halacha is not identical with that of Shemitah Karkos, because Shemitah Karkos is relevant to the entire Shemitah year. From the beginning of the Shemitah year of Shoshana all the way until the end of the Shemitah year, and even extends beyond the Shemitah year to the end of eight. But here, when it comes to the Shemitas Sofim, so the Torah uses one word, Miketz, Sheva Shonim Tase Shemitah, which seems to indicate at the end of the seventh year, that's when the Din of Shemitas Sofim, that's when it becomes relevant. So the Torah goes on to say, Vizedra Shemitah, the Torah is now describing Shemitas Sofim. And the Torah tells us, Shomot, Kol Val Mashe Yado Mashe Yashever Eyu. I don't have time really to explicate the psukim. If I did, it would be a shir unto itself. This is a very complicated, awkward, cumbersome pasuk. Shomot Kol Val Mashe Yado. Just the translation is very elusive. Asher Yashever Eyu. There's also a lot of repetition in this pasuk as well. Before Shem on the psukim discussing at great length. But what the Torah stresses is the next pasuk. Lo yigos esve'eli esochi ki kara shmita l'ashem. The halacha is that you cannot be tovea, lo yigos. You cannot exact. You cannot press your fellow man or your brother. Why is that so? Because ki kara shmita l'ashem. There's somehow a concept of shmita that has essentially remitted the obligation, the chov that was extant. And then the Torah says, that's anochi tigos. Of course, if it's a non-Jew, that you certainly are allowed to go ahead and be noges. But Basher Yelach Zechicha Tashmei Yodecha. And this is a very important pasuk, because this pasuk is the makar, the din of prusbol. The mechanics of prusbol operate with this pasuk. As Chazal say, Basher Yelach Zechicha Velo Shelachicha Yodecha. I'll get to that in a little bit in a while. But anyway, this is a very significant series of psukim that relate to Shemitas Ksofim. Now, Shemitas Ksofim, these psukim really have both an asay and a los asay. When Shemitah ends, Miket Sheva Shonim, so the Torah says, Shamot, we're obligated to remit any outstanding loans. That's what the Torah indicates. And at the same time, there's a law. Lo Yigos, we're not allowed to go ahead and demand payment of those loans. That's how the Rambam, the Sefer Mitzvos writes, and that's how the Chinuch writes. That's how many Rishonim point out, both the Mitzvah say, Shamot, and a law of Lo Yigos, Hesva'el V'yasotim. So the Torah is very concerned about this, namely, if at the end of Shemitah, a creditor stands to lose the money he lent, that might be a cause for people to refrain from lending. Why should they lend? Why should they go ahead and give other people money in anticipation of Shemitah? So here the Torah already is concerned about that, and that's on the upper left-hand corner for those who have it, in Pasuk Tes for those of the Chumash. Hishom alechop and yet davorim levavchop b'liyah leimor. Another incredibly striking use of the term b'liyal. B'liyal in Tanakh, all over Tanakh, generally, right away, usually brings to mind someone who is essentially, how shall I describe him? A scoundrel. I have no other way of describing the b'liyal. B'liyal, correct, that's what Chazal say. But here it's found in this context that someone who's not going to lend others money has this kind of a status of Chmal Litzan. And what will that person say? Karva Shnas Hashem Vashnas Hashemita, because the seventh year is coming about. And there's someone who is destitute, Nachman Litzan, and is in need of a loan, but you're not going to give it because you know exactly what Shemitah is going to do. Shemitah will remit that loan, and the loan will automatically be rendered null and void. And therefore, v'kara alecha l'Hashem, v'hayu v'chachet. That language also, v'kara alecha l'Hashem, is not often found in Chumash. For example, you see in Mishpat, the Torah has, v'amona v'yasav v'sa'anon, im'ani ta'ani yasav. If you are ma'ani yasav v'amona, ki imso ki yitzak ha'ilai, the Torah says, shamo eshma atzak oso. And then the result, it's catastrophic. The Chorapi, the Torah says, and Rahman Latsan, Barakti Eschem Bechorah, Barakti Shechem Amonos, from Nechem Yisoyman. So this is a similar language that the Torah uses. Dafka, in this context of someone who just doesn't lend money. We're not talking about someone who's Ba'ana Yosem Ba'amono, and yet the Torah uses a similar kind of language. So the Torah tells us, Chas V'Shalom, that you should behave in this fashion. Nosom Titen Lo, this is the mitzvah of Stoka. Same mitzvah that's found a moment later, in the next series of Psukim, when the Torah speaks about the love of Tzedakah, lo se'amis ha'slevavacha, lo se'kvot se'siyotcha, pasuach tipshach, ha'avit ha'vitenu. So here the Torah says, no so titen lo. V'layir ha'levavacha v'sitcha lo, don't really feel bad, and you'll be zovet to a bracha, v'rech Hashem alokecha, v'chol ma'asecha, v'chol mishach yodecha. So Chazal, generally, whenever they see the term Yishomer, the Gemara says, oh, v'shas, the Gemara says that Yishomer, pen, generally indicate a lot. It's a negative commandment. Anyone who refuses to lend money because he knows that Shemitah is about to occur, so he's going to, in effect, be in violation of these averos. So the Torah says, Nosom titen lo, v'leir al-ravcha v'sitcha lo. So this is the background for this mitzvah, for this din of Shemitah's Tzofim. Now the question is whether Shemitah's Tzofim is a din d'araisa, din d'rabanan. That's the subject of a massive machlokes among the Gdolei HaRishonim, and maybe we'll just briefly mention the Rambam. The Rambam is found for those who have the sheet. Most of you don't have it, I apologize again. In Shemitah V'Yovel, Perek Tes, I'll read the Lashon HaRambam. It's found in the middle of the page, left-hand side. I'll try to read it slowly. So we'll see that the Rambam clearly has connected the idea of Shemitah's Ksofim to Yovel. That's a very important connection that is mentioned here in the Rambam. The Rambam says, first, Mitzah Seh Lahashmit. The obligation is to remit the loan, the milveh v'shviyah, shenema shavur kovah mashayado. That's the mitzvah saseh that we mentioned a moment ago. V'atoveh chov shavur lo shviyah, sabra lo saseh. There's also a law, a negative commandment, shenema lo yigos esra'ehu, v'yasochi kikar shvita l'ashem. Now the Rambam comes with the next statement, and this is the famous Rambam, which is based on the Gemara in Gittin, the Gemara in Daf Lamed Vav, which actually also is found here, for those who have it. You'll see it on page number 3. I xerox a little bit of the Gemara in Gittin. I'll get to it in a second. The Rambam says, "Ein shmitas sofim la'egis min ha'torah b'shvius el bezman shayolam noe sheyesham shmitas karda." The Rambam connects actually the two. Shmitas sofim min ha'torah is only nohu bezman shayolam noe, where you have shmitas karka sheharei yoshu hakarka lebaola below kesef. The Rambam says, "Kabolahu." This needs attention, this language of the Rambam. I'm not going to give it the proper attention right now. I just simply want to indicate that the Rambam clearly has connected, and he goes on to say, so the Rambam is connected, Shemitas Tzofim, to Shemitas Karka. And the motto of the Rambam is the Braisa, which is actually, you can see this braisa twice. So I'm at the bottom of page 1, and also on page 3, in greater detail. The Gemara here says, Lamed Vav and Aleph, it's at the bottom of the page over here, a famous statement of Rebbe. Rabbi Lanossi was the one who commented on this. He learned that from the double language of the Pasuk. The Zed Bar Hashmita Shamot. The Torah uses a double language. So Rebbe Dashin, there's an allusion, a reference here in the language of Zed Vashmita, the first time, the second time, Shavuot. Achashmita's karka, v'achashmita's ksav. Bizman shato b'shamit karka, ato b'shamit ksav. One is hinges upon the other. Bizman shiato b'shamit karka, iato b'shamit ksav. That's how the Rambam understood this, and the Rambam clearly connected the two. And if you look in the Mefarshim here, the Mari Kurkis, which is on the left-hand side, and the Kesef Mishneh, and generally, the Mefarsh on the Rambam over here, the Mari Kupis actually points out, the Mari Kupis is the Chachmei Sfarad. If I'm not mistaken, he was in the period of time when they were expelled from Spain, and he actually went to Egypt, and ultimately ended up in Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Cook is a classic parsha of the Rambam. And so here, he writes to Rabbi Cook, he understands the Rambam statement here, when he mentions that Shemitah's Kofim depends on Yovel, and as I said, Yovel the Shemitah's Kaka, the two depend one upon the other. So he goes on to explain that the Rambam understood what does it mean, Shemitah's Kaka? Yoshim HaKarka LeBa'olah V'lo Kesed. That's the language of the Rambam. Very striking language. But clearly, as I indicated, that's Shemitah's Karka. And it's similar to Shemitah's Tzofim. What's the commonality between the two, said the Mari Kurkas? The commonality is that in Shemitah's Tzofim, Hamos Nishmotim Legamri. The money is remitted. The loan that was outstanding is now essentially rendered null and void. And so too, Shemitah's Karka, the Sodos that formerly belonged to an individual and now going to return to their former owner. So that's the analogy, and that's what he says. And Kaka the Yovel is Chosel Abala Benishma the Gamri Mimishu Tachas Yodo. He's trying to draw an analogy between the two statements of Shemitah. What's the commonality? What's the common denominator? Says the Mari Korkas. In one case, the Kaka is Nishmat Mimishu Tachas Yodo. It's taken away from the one who has it and goes back to the original owner. And the same thing applies as well to Shemitah's Tzovim Shahamos Nishmotim the Gamri. Okay, whatever the nature, they're trying to more or less focus on this shoresh, shomot. By the way, one would have thought that the term shomot, based on what the Rambam says here, should also appear in the context of Yovel. It does not. The term shomot is not found at all in the Torah in the context of Yovel. It is found with reference to the earlier pasuk that I mentioned in Mishpatim, Bashvias Tishmetena Unitashto. That's where it's found in the context of Mishpatim. Okay, but I'm interested simply now in just indicating to you, as I said, that there's a connection between the two, Shemitah's Tzofim and Shemitah's Karka, and clearly Yovel is also a big factor over here. Now, Yovel has many, many halachas. I'm not going to discuss all the dinim of Yovel, but simply what's of interest to my mind, as far as Yovel is concerned, is really the psukim that the Torah has with reference to Yovel. Some of them are probably more or less well-known to you, especially... Someone just told me, I actually went once to Philadelphia just to see if on the Liberty Bell it was actually written what they claim was written. Namely, they claimed that on the Liberty Bell in Philadelphia, I happened to be Masada Kedushin in Cherry Hills, not far from Philadelphia. So while I was at it, I decided to allow myself to go and see the Liberty Bell. There it says that V'kidashtem Mishnas HaChamishim Shana, doesn't say that in Hebrew, in English. V'krosim Dror, V'oris HaChol Yoshev, also another very fascinating term, Dror. The Gemara says in Shabbos, three clothes drawer shein makalu morus. I'm accustomed to dealing with talmidim like that. Anyway, but begins so the pasuk says v'kidash teveshnas hamishim shana u'krosim drawer baris lechol yoshvei yovali tiyalafet mishaftem isha lehuzaso isha mishpachto toshuvu. So Chazal understood that Yovel is only observed when all of Klal Yisrael are living in Eretz Yisrael, and obviously once the Shvatim of Reuben, God, and Chatz Yishev and Manasseh were exiled, Yovel is no longer observed. And even after Klal Yisrael returned from Babel and rebuilt the Beis HaMikdash, not everyone came back. They observed Shemitah, but not Yovel. That's the Gemara Derech and Tosafot and Zohar and the Rambam Hilchot Shemitah with Yovel and Kesef Mishnah. There's a long discussion exactly as well about that that reality. So there's a machlokes in the Gemara, and that's the machlokes here in Gittin, which is found on page 3. And this is a sort of a small print, but you can more or less trust me. I've gone through the sugya about 10 times in my life. And so this Gemara here discusses the fasting machlokes, the Shemitah, the Araisa, the Havon. What's the status of Shemitah, the Banei Ono of Shemitah today? The Chum maintained it's a Din Araisa. But Rebbe, as I just indicated a moment ago, inside the Rambam, to this effect, Rebbe Avira Nasi, he contended that since Shemitah and Yovel are discussed together in the Torah, once Yovel is no longer extant, Yovel is not applicable, so then Shemitah is not observed mid-Araisa. And of course, included in Shemitah are both the Easter of, number one, working the land, and the Mitzvah Shemitah Sofit, and most we've shown impossible like Rebbe. And therefore today, when we observe Shemitah, we're observing it rabbinically. We're only observing Shemitah mid Rabbanan, and not observing Shemitah mid Araisa. That's again, we've shown in the tour, and Yerodeh points this out, and the Ritva on the spot, and the Chinuch on the spot, and this is well known. Now, the reason why Chazal felt as a need to enact Shemitah rabbinically, why did they feel the need to introduce Shemitah at a level of the Rabbanan? And again, as I said, we're not observing it at a Torah level. We're observing it rabbinically, but basically we're observing it. Number one, we don't work the land during the course of Shemitah. And number two, Shemitah is suffering. Why? Simply, Chazal were very concerned that these mitzvahs would be forgotten in the course of Golus. They didn't want that to happen. And yeah, we don't find. So why didn't Chazal institute a form of Yovel? That would have been Lichora also the proper thing to do. That we don't find. Why? Because that would require 2 consecutive years. That would require essentially year number 49 and year number 50 and not working the fields. And in general, Chazal realized that that's something, ain't gozing zera atzibur, el kebrov hatzibur chol lamabla. We're not going to impose zera unless the tzibur is capable of handling it or weathering it, and that would be something excessive. And therefore, Chazal saw it was not possible, they would institute that kind of decree. So now I want to just, again, I'm going to get to principle, and don't worry, that's the whole idea of the shir, but I just wanted to provide you with some, a little bit of backdrop, a little bit of context in order to have a sense of what exactly we're talking about. One of the questions that always comes up, and this is a question, the Gemara itself here, on page number 3, the Gemara is discussion, and this in general is an issue that is very much embedded all over Shas, that the Koach of Chazal, we understand if Shemitah is Medaraisa, the Boshom obviously can determine, can decide to whom, shall we say, what belongs to whom, and after Shemitah he decides that my money now belongs to the other person. The Boshom certainly can make such decisions. He has absolute kind of koyach. But the problem is, this is now Din Chazal. What right do Chazal have to engage in this kind of activity? And they do it quite often. So that's the question which the Gemara asked in Masechus Gittin and Nachman Avraham and Beis. It's also found here on page number 3. The Gemara actually has a number of approaches, but the Maskana, the Gemara says, Hefke Bezen Hefke. That's a very important klal in Halacha. The Gemara has Sukkim that Hefke Bezen Hefke means Chazal can declare property that belongs to someone to be Hefke. That property is now ownerless. They sort of rescind the bailus of that individual from that property. And therefore, that's why the person who did not write a prosbol is allowed to hold on, is allowed to keep that item, because they're based on Chazal. By the way, a woman called me today and asked me if she's chayav in prosbol, and one would have thought that this woman is a Isha Mulumedes. So she told me that she's potter from prosbol because the mitzvah says she has man grama. And the Chorosh is correct. There is a mitzvah says she has man grama. And therefore, the mitzvah, I believe, occurs only once in 7 years, if I'm not mistaken. So she's 100% correct. But it's not true. It's not true for 2 reasons. What?
So we said it was a lot.
Oh, that's exactly. That's exactly correct. That's the reason why the Chinuch says what you say, and the I believe in the Sugin Kedushin, Alam Gimel. That's what I saw last year, the Sefer HaMikta. He also writes like that. That's a taste of Al-Basra, a few other places in Chas, whatever. There's a lot involved. Of course, a woman may be part of Mitzvah Seh Shazman Grama. But here we're talking about, as Rav Esplar mentioned correctly, that this mitzvah involves Lo Gigos is for Ayo Vesoch and Pikar Shmita Lashem. There's a lot, not exactly in general, but the Mashmos, the Rav and the Asalich said a whole shir on this, that the Alvo requires a Tzviya, that the Malv has to be Tavea, that needs to have a discussion. But anyway, so here the Torah said it came in Tavea. Lo Gigos is for Ayo Vesoch, but since there's a lot involved, so certainly women are, even though they're part of Mitzvah Seh, she has man grandma, but they're virtually obligated in Kemat, all negative commandments. I say virtually, yesh makom, as the Mishnah by Sikudushim, there are a few exceptions, but other than that, the chayv that you are correct. There's another reason why a woman is also involved in Shemitah itself, because it's not limited by time. It's true that Shemitah occurs once in 7 years, but the mitzvah of waving alone, waving is W-A-I, thank you, as opposed to, I have to be careful when I use English. So the mitzvah of waiting alone, that's why he used the term remitting alone. The mitzvah of remitting alone applies any time when someone who borrows money with a loan there wants to repay the loan. It's a Shemitah. Whether it's a week after Shemitah, 5 years after Shemitah, 10 years after Shemitah, the mainly, so even beside that, it's also relevant actually to women as well. I was just going to, but I'm trying to get really to be as focused as I can. I always have in the back of my mind, I grew up on Shakespeare. My father showed me to read it to me for bedtime reading. When I was 5 years old, 6 years old. That is Shakespeare and Tanakh, that's what we did. And that put us to sleep very quickly. It was the best soporific, better than sleeping pills. Sleeping pills take usually a few seconds. Like the rushes of a rug. So people on Friday night, yeah, Baruch Hashem, that's a goddess. Sleeping pills take a few minutes. And the rushes of a rug work instantaneously. Anyway, that's great. So that's why I speak very long, because I think that people should have a Shinas Keva. Shinas Keva, that people should have. The Gemara says, "Ain't Keva Lashina, Gemara Sukkah." But at the same time, I wanted to have Shinas Keva the holidays. There are several days of Shavuot, Bi'alocha. How much is Shinas Keva? So I make sure they get the fullest Shinas Keva. Anyway, so why I say this is done in Shakespeare.
Well, I won't speak well in Illinois.
I'm not going to respond to that. Why is Chol HaMoed different?
Friday night. Say Friday night.
Okay, thank you. So there's a line in Shakespeare, neither a lender nor a borrower be. So this is some years of the Yakusa, maybe I was 5 years old. But it's true that Shakespeare didn't know the Gemara Shabbos. I don't know why he was not familiar with that. But the word borrow can refer to items that the borrower expects it to return. Let's say a person borrows, I don't know, I borrow an onion from my neighbor, or I borrow money from my neighbor. So the borrower doesn't plan on returning that exact item, nor does the lender expect him to do so, not to return that particular onion. I imagine you borrowed it to use it. On the other hand, if you borrow an electric drill from the Gemach, so I imagine the borrower is expected and required to return that borrowed object. And those the English, the same word is used to refer to two totally different types of transactions. That's why English, the use of an item not going to return and the keeping of an item not in place. That's why English is not such a great language. But in Lashon HaKodesh, there's a distinction between two terms in Mishnah. It's a Mishnah actually in Shabbos. It's a Perek in Shabbos, Perek HaShoyel, famous Perek. The Perek actually is mechalek between what's called Halvah and something which is called Sheila. These are two totally different concepts the Gemara has, as well. So the reason why this distinction is fairly evident is because when the borrower is expected to return the same item that was lent, let's say the pen or the tool or whatever it may be, it's called a Sheila. But if someone borrows an item that's not expected to return the exact item, but something of the same value, then it's called Halva. It's much more so the Mishnah and Shabbos, and also another number of sugyos in Chas. So Shemitah, what does Shemitah cancel? Only halva. That's a lashon amen that we just saw a moment ago. Shemitah is hashmatas hamilve, not a she'ela. So if I borrow a tool or I borrow a pen that the lender expects to get back, then the borrower has to return them after Shemitah, because the item that was loaned is still the property of the original owner. But if I borrow money, food, whatever it may be, things that the borrower is expected to replace, then Shemitah is going to affect such a loan, and you have to be careful not to violate the mitzvah Shemitah Sofim unless you have a prosbom. So this is something I just wanted to make this philological statement, if I may. The chilul between she'ela and halva, and it's a very important distinction. The Gemara has in Makkos, a famous sugya at the beginning of Makkos, Gemara Daf Gimel, that a person lends money for 10 years. So what's the deal regarding Shemitah? Obviously, Shemitah is going to occur in the course of the 10 years. So the Gemara says the Shemitah is not going to cancel that loan. And the reason is because the Pasuk says, Miketz, as we have it here, Miketz Sheva Shonim Tase Shemitah, Vizeh Dvar HaShemitah, Shomo Kobal Mashe Yodom Mashe Yashem Re'eo. I don't even know how to translate it. Every creditor will release his authority over what he has lent his fellow man. Something along those lines. Lo Yigos Yisrael Yisrael, don't exact. Don't press him. Now juxtapose, the Torah says, to the mitzvah of foregoing a loan, the Torah says, Lo Yigos, and Hazal understood that when is Shemitah going to cancel a loan, when it's possible to exact payment of the loan at that time. If you cannot demand payment yet, Shemitah itself does not apply. And that's the sugya Makkos, the Gemara Daf Gimel, where the Gemara points out a 10-year loan and the like, so the obligation of the Malveh to be Tobeah only going to happen after 10 years. So therefore, Lo Yigos is not relevant. Therefore, Shemitah doesn't affect that loan. It's Gemara Makkos, and the Gemara has that a number of times. And since Shemitah, as I said, any loan whose due date is after Erev Rosh Hashanah, at the conclusion of Shemitah, where we mentioned the Pasuk again, the Ketch Erev Hashanim, since Shemitah cancels loans at the end of Shemitah, at that point the lender was not allowed to ask for the money. Shemitah did not cancel that loan. That's the Shemolah from Mechaber Paskin in Chayshe Mishpah. Now, if you have a scenario where there's no due date, that's when you have a whole issue, a whole discussion from the Pasuk. The Gemara says, Tam Halvah Shleishim Yer. The Gemara indicates that an unspecified loan generally is for 30 days. It means the person borrows money, you know, indicate that you return it by a specific day. So then, obviously, we assume that the borrower has a 30-day kind of grace period in which you can you can't demand payment. So in the case of Shemitah, so many Rishonim say that if the 30 days are over after Rosh Hashanah, the loan is not canceled because there cannot be any act of negisa, no demand of payment is able to be made. The 30 days are over before Rosh Hashanah, then the loan will be canceled. Other Rishonim say no, that the Stam Halboa Shoshim Yom is not the same as a situation where the borrower and the lender fix a date for the repayment of the loan. Once the day was agreed upon, it's almost as if the borrower did not borrow the money until that time. And he's not under no obligation to repay beforehand. Prior to that, he's not going to have to repay it. So even if the lender needs the money back and the borrower can find a way to repay early, could be he's not halachically bound to do so. I'm not saying Lefim Mishur HaSadin. Gets on Lefim Mishur HaSadin. Actually, he should go ahead and return the loan. But in the case of Astam Halvah, you don't say that. It's possible the Shemitah will cancel that loan. Okay, I'm only, again, all this is relevant to monetary loans. What about food items and other kind of objects? You can just take out the word quick and then you can ask it. Only because I'm trying to eliminate the word quick from the lexicon of people who ask me questions. And let's say it's not quick. I'll still answer the question if I can. Yes.
A bond. Person buys a bond. It's a 15-year bond.
Right.
Okay, that's more than the 7 years.
Correct.
However, he buys it in the middle of the bonds having to be repaid. That is, you buy it on the market and there's only 5 years left. Which does the which does it which halacha applies? Is he or is he not? Is that still considered beyond the time?
Offhand, I would say yes. Okay. Again, it has to be hakol tzaron iyun, but that's what I would assume. That might be the fact. Correct. But the bond is still.
Why would there be a bond scared? It's not the shmita, right?
Why this issue would not be an issue. Okay. I have to look into it and see what the pasuk would say regarding that issue. I can see part of the account, okay?
You can give it.
Yeah. I just want to lay down what the basis of Puzzle is, and now I'm going to talk a little bit about Puzzle. I don't want to go beyond my a lot of time, even though I always do. The pasuk that we had here before. Es Asher, the pasuk says, "Achicha tashmi yadecha." V'asheir lecha es achicha tashmi yadecha. So, Chazal darshed this pasuk, and it's a very striking drasha. Namely, what is not affected by Shemitah? If the lender gives his shtaros, what you call promissory notes, or anything that I owe, it's given over to Beis Din, and who then is going to collect the outstanding chov? Beis Din. That's what the pasuk says. When is Shemitah applicable? But if it's in the hands of Beis Din, so then the halacha is Beis Din can go ahead and collect the outstanding chov. That's what Chazal derived from this pasuk. Only a debt between Adam and Chavero, the one person and another, the creditor and the debtor, that's canceled by Shemitah. But something which is owed to Beis Din remains unaffected, and that's what the Rambam calls the halacha and all the pasuk in Shulchan Aruch, as it's called in Shulchan Aruch as well. So now, we want to come a little bit to explain the din of Prusbel very briefly. So the Torah tells us again, we're worried about someone not lending money because he'll lose his money when Shemitah cancels the chov. And during the days, the Gemara says here, again, this is the Gemara in Gittin over here. It's on page number 3. The Gemara said that during the days of Hillel HaZaken, so there, this issue, the Gemara says, occurred. The days of Hillel HaZaken, which is approximately 100 years before the Churban HaBayis, the Churban HaBayis Sheni. So the wealthy people were basically refusing to lend money for that reason. The poor people had nowhere to turn. So Hillel instituted the idea of Prusbel. By the way, it's kedai to learn the last parak of Shvi'is, of Masechah Shvi'is. The entire parak is concerned about Shvi'is Sofim, concerned about Prusbel. Beautiful Mishnayos, such a Machaya to learn those Mishnayos in the last parak of Shvi'is. The rest of the Masechta is not such a Machaya. But the last parak of Shvi'is is relatively easy. Mamish, it's like literally, very simple Mishnayos. The Gemara says here that Prusbel, that's a strange word. Someone asked me today, why is it sometimes spelled with a Zayin, sometimes with a Samach? I said, wow, you, Baruch Hashem, was zeicha to the concept of metathesis. Oisis mischalfos. Zayin and Samach often are oisis mischalfos throughout. You see that everywhere. So the Gemara says here in Gittin that the word Prusbel is a short version of the phrase Prus Buli Ubuti. There are three words here. Prus means an institution. Pros, like we have that word, the Gemara Megillah, you have it elsewhere also. And the buli refers to the wealthy people, Ashirim, and buli refers to Aniyim. Because the Prusbul institution, it benefits the wealthy people, the poor people. It's good for the wealthy people. It protects them from financial loss. They lend money before Shemitah. It's also beneficial to people who are poor, because they now find people who are willing to lend them money. They're in need of resources, and therefore they'll be able to borrow money. And that's why it affects all of them. So once the creditor arranges the Prusbul, by the way, here you have on the back of the page, I discovered in the last week or so, 49 dusos of Prusbul. So the question is, which one are we going to use? Someone called me up and insisted, I'm only going to use the Prusbul of Agoin of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Well, I don't know exactly what his Prusbul is. And then another person told me he's only using another Prusbul, which is not even known to me. But in the back of this handout, I think on page number 4, I actually xeroxed both a Prusbul in English and Hebrew. You can actually see the language of the Prusbul over here. Essentially, the loan is not going to be canceled. And as I said, the basis for a Prusbul, one, we said, Hefker, Bezin, Hefker. We mentioned also to give your shtaros to Bezin, they're not canceled by Shemitah, and that's the main point. I'm transferring all my IOUs, all my promissory notes, to Bezin. And once they're in Bezin possession, they're not affected by Shemitah. Shemitah only affects between you and me, but not Mechavera. It doesn't affect what's in the hands of Bezin. And the other very significant legal mechanism, you can actually see it here, is the concept of using real estate. This is also Mishnah Masechta Shabbos. And let me just go through what all of you are very familiar with. You know that when a person borrows money, so there are two types of shtaras. It's a milva b'shtar, milva alpeh. Milva alpeh, of course, is much weaker than a milva b'shtar. Milva b'shtar has, the Gemara says, all over Shas, it's everywhere. The Gemara says that milva b'shtar creates a kol. Once a person borrows money and it's written in the shtar with edim, so people are aware of what he did. So milva b'shtar is much stronger, because in effect, it's the best collateral for a loan. Means again, the Gemara says karka and nizelos, or tzuk as well, that you can't steal karka. And therefore, real estate can't be stolen, real estate can't be destroyed, real estate cannot be hidden away. Real estate is much more secure than the talpun, than movable property. So it's always there. So if the borrower is going to default on the loan, so then the creditor can go down, can foreclose, go down to the property of the loan and collect actually for the property. And sometimes Bezin has the right to seize the property of the borrower if the loan defaults on the loans. That's why Rishonim say that any outstanding loan that has real estate as collateral is viewed in halacha kigavui damri. So as Gilo was collected already, that's how we view actually karka. So once we establish that a halacha that's based on real estate is considered to have been collected, so Shemitah is not going to cancel that loan. The Shemitah only cancels outstanding loans, not those that have already been collected. The Mishnah in Shvias, and the sixth, Mishnah in the Perek Yud in Shvias, and also the Rash. And that Mishnah in Shvias points this out by Richos, the fill between Karka and Metal. That's one of the reasons why the Poskim require that the borrower own property in order for the creditor to make a Prusbul. This is the famous concept. Once the borrower owns a piece of property, so the Halacha sees that property as being collateral for the loan. The loan is considered to be as if it's already collected. Kilu gobi dobi. The loan was already collected. And therefore, this is the subject. And now, let's say one does not have karka, so then it's a whole to do. I'm not getting into that, all those details. But going just in terms of the Prusbul, what I want to discuss. So now Hillel enacted Prusbul. Basically, what are we doing? We're transferring our debt to Bezin. You can see it actually, look at in the text of the Prusbul. Those who have it, those who don't have it, I'll read it. I'll read the English. I don't like English. I'll read it anyway. We were in a session of three judges, and X appeared before us and said, this year is the seventh year. I have both promissory notes and verbal debt. Means he has, obviously, shtaros that are both balpeh and also that are b'chsav. I'm handing over to you a prusbul, namely you, the Bezdin, and giving you a present with the mode of acquisition of dalat amos, that's mine. And by means of the land, I authorize you to claim all debts owed to me by various people, and you're going to receive the debt on my behalf. If you don't claim it, since I've handed this Prusbul over to you, I can claim any debt owed to me. And we, the Bezin, heard what he said, give him the power of attorney, Shemitah will not cancel his debt, and then we attest our signatures. More or less, this is the precy of what a Prusbul is all about. So Hillel, when he enacted the Prusbul, what was that? I mean, the question of Shlichus, so that's some, actually, there's also Prusbul. They should have. There are different types of Prusbul. And that's why I said there are 49 Nischos that I've seen in the last number of days. But the advantage...
Should give the karka to Besdin.
What's
that?
Have
to give the karka to the Malden. No. To the Logan.
The as long as he has karka, so by the way, if, let's say Logan does not have karka, the creditor can give him karka. That's what it says also in Mishnayos and Shrias. But I just want to just mention the advantages to the enactment of Hillel, and they are the following. Number one, according to the original halacha that you can transfer your IOUs to Bezdin, so it was necessary to physically transfer them. You can't simply go ahead and make a statement in Bezdin attesting the fact that you're transferring them. Basically, if you don't have the documents, so how can you use this halacha? So Hillel said, no, you don't have to transfer the documents. You simply make a statement in Bezdin. That's what this is. The principle is a verbal statement, a verbal utterance. I'm transferring the debt. Secondly, before he enacted Puzbo, if you lend money without receiving a shtar, so you won't be able to transfer that debt to Besdin, because it's a Milval Peh. Milval Peh cannot be transferred. Milval Peh has no code. And the Shemitah would cancel the code. Using a Puzbo, I can take a verbal IOU and transfer to Besdin. And again, that is, and now, in order for Puzbo to take effect, it has to be written before the end of Shemitah. And the minute that I know, I'm here at the fourth Shemitah. It's my fourth Shemitah, Ken Yerbo. And every Shemitah, I've done an Erev Rosh Hashanah. And one of the reasons for this, because it only affects a loan that was made prior to that point in time. Let's say a person lent money after writing a Prusbo, then either you have to put the payment date after Shemitah, or you have to write another Prusbo. Otherwise, the later loan will be canceled once Shemitah ends. So therefore, that's why the minig is to do it on Dafka Erev Rosh Hashanah. That's what I understood from the last four Shemitahs. By the way, and there's another question which has to be do you need a proper Besdin? Can you have people who are Krovim, who essentially Krovim, let's say, to the Loven, to the Malven, Krovim to the Malven, sitting on the Besdin? There are those who are Machmir, those who are Megal. Certainly the Besdin should be individuals who are not related to each other, three Dayanim. The issue is it similar to Tataras Nadar, not similar to Tataras Nadar? People are not so makbid, talks about Taras Nadarim, but some people require Bez Taras Nadarim. By the way, that's why I understood. Someone told me the Prozbo is done in Erev Rosh Hashanah because you already have a Bezdin sitting about Taras Nadarim. And maybe you can use the same Bezdin for Prozbo, and it's a very simple, facile kind of arrangement. And it's interesting that there are many, many different versions with different nuances, but the basic text is what I indicated to you. Now, if a person does not arrange a Prozbo, so that's when as I indicated, that if the creditor had outstanding loan before the end of Shemitah, the borrower didn't pay the loan for Rosh Hashanah, Shemitah cancels it. And when the borrower approaches the creditor after Shemitah and attempts to return the loan, the Mishnah writes in Shemitah, what does the creditor have to say? That he's Meichel the Chayv. He foregoes the loan. And the borrower responds, Afal became, I want to repay it. You have many, many chassidim like that. So the creditor is allowed to take that. That's the Mishnah and Shemitah as well. Because the Torah did not aser accepting the money. The Torah did not say it's aser. The Torah says that in a chanam, you have to waive the loan. You have to remit the loan. The halva has to be remitted. And not demand the money back. But once he said that I forego the loan, so then I have the option of giving it to him as a matana. And Chazal indicates a Mishnah and Shemitah. Towards the end of that parak, the parak Yud, very famous Mishnah, that Chazal speak very highly of a person who chooses to repay a loan canceled by Shemitah. That's considered to be something which is very, very significant. I'll just end by saying that someone told me that this is the minute that they have to fulfill the mitzvah of Shemitah's Tzofim. How do you do that after you arrange the principal? He's lent a small amount of money to someone, and he stipulates the loan is due before Rosh Hashanah, and the loan took place after the principal. It won't be included in the principal. So therefore, since the loan is due for Rosh Hashanah, it will be canceled, not paid by them. And then when the borrower comes to repay the Yom Tov, the creditor says, I forgave you, and I forego the chov, and he fulfills the mitzvah, Shemitah Tzofim, Tzafen Yishchai, Tzfadim, Avrei Makpid, to do this kind of thing. So by keeping the laws of Shemitah Tzofim, one is going to get kapara for all of one's avonos, because Hashem pays back someone, midah k'neged midah. So the Gemara all over Shas, the midah shall be divided in love. Person doesn't collect his debts and ayins of Shemitah, halavai the Rebbeinu Shalom will not collect on our averus as well. Halavai that this Shemitah should be, as the Gemara says, that certainly with Shemitah, Ben David is going to come. B'sheh tzikeinu, b'erev yameinu. Amen.
Oh, yeah. I mean, what about
kids that are so many about Rabbi Yehoshua? So this is, again, what exactly, I mean, I see that only the briskers are mafia on these things. They don't own property. They don't own property.
That's why we say, since they're so many, so all their money is anyway owned by their parents.
Exactly.